Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hourglass Isabella. I'm joined by the rather lovely Michael Corbis.
Oh, you flatter me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I do. I love it. I absolutely love to do that. And tonight we're going to be discussing the madness of the internet. And you may ask yourself, what is this topic? What is this about? What are you even talking about?
God knows I'm asking myself what this topic is about, but you know what?
And I haven't given you any prep on it, have I?
No, none whatsoever.
So this is going to be a...
It's a cold open.
I want it to be a natural conversation. So if you're listening, I want you guys to kind of feel like you're sitting with us and actually hang this conversation together like we're around the campfire discussing this. And
shall I burn something?
Sure, if you care to. But... pyromaniac in the corner, but if you imagine for a moment that I love you, if you imagine for a moment the internet, picture it. Can you picture in your head what is the internet to you? The interwebs. To you on a personal level.
A collection of interconnected devices and people on the other end of those devices.
Yes, and traditionally things like web pages. Mm-hmm. And communities and applications, and that's what we kind of think about it as. And I'm asking you if you are of this particular generation. If not, bear with me, because this is important for you guys too, if you're of the younger generation, to listen to this. But if you were around in the 90s, were you around in the 90s?
Yeah, I was.
Me too. What a time. It was like the Wild
The 1990s
West.
Or 1890s, because...
it's a bit, when you're a vampire, it's a little iffy, but it was like the Wild West of the internet days. And by that, I mean, we talk about this concept of a frontier. And bear with me here. It's like, you know about the Wild West in America. Obviously, you're an American.
Yes.
The frontier was concept. Mm. People were looking for gold, and there was this whole thing, the gold rush, and they would go out to places like California or Colorado.
In the hopes
of settling something new and creating new things in new environments and new prospects for people. And the internet in its heyday, in its original form, was kind of like that. It was a frontier where you could, anyone, there wasn't really rules in it, like there are now, and I expect there'll be more rules in the future, but back in the day, picture, anyone could make a website. You could go to, remember GeoCities?
I do.
Yeah, you could go and create any kind of web page, and these web pages were kind of like little individual islands, and you could visit anyone's island, and there wasn't really a collective area like Facebook in terms of social media at that juncture. This is very early on, and anybody could contribute anything, and if your idea was interesting enough, regardless of your social or financial background, people could come check out your site. Mm-hmm. And there was advertising back then too. The heyday of it was banner ads. You have these little long ads at the top of the thing. Then we got into the social media, and I love the concept of social media because of the networking aspect. We got into the concept of this, and we had sites like MySpace, which we've talked about this previously on other podcasts, but I loved MySpace because it was like the frontier of social media. It was like the Wild West of social media. It was no, anything would go, and by that I mean you could have crazy code. You could do your own coding, kids, if you listen to this. You weren't constricted to Facebook's particular limited outline, or what, even if you use any other social media platform, they have a very strict, as we talked about before, there's a rigid rule in place for that reason, because that's, again, about marketing. But you could have any background, anything you liked, and represent yourself in a way you felt actually was the individual, which goes back to that beautiful documentary, The Century of Self, which is all about the founding of the individual pre-internet, about how we learned through marketing that people want to have individual identities. So you could have your own background, you could pick your own music that represented your identity, and your friends could come and say, wow, this is a really cool playlist. I'm going to put it on my page, or I'm going to share this, check out this background. What do you want to do on your coding? And it was very cute and a different time in some respects.
It was a different time, and some could argue that is one of the reasons why MySpace lost over to Facebook, because there's the concept of user interface design, which the shorthand distillation of that subject is, you see a McDonald's, if you're in Albuquerque or Cleveland or New York, you're going to get the same quarter pounder. It's standardization. So when people...
A standardized, boring menu for humans.
Right, exactly.
That's
so,
what it
so,
is.
But that's the things that would start generating more revenue.
Right, and that, again, why it comes into marketing.
But we're talking about the early days, the Wild West days, the glory days of the internet, where you could do anything. You could put your navigation on the lower right-hand side if you
but
want to.
But I think you could also just like...
whatever.
You could just express yourself better back
yeah.
then than you can now. And once and what happens is once something becomes standardized and you get used to it, it's like you're placated by it. So humans now... humans now, and especially younger generation, they kind of just, like, I feel like we just, we all kind of accept this now as what it is of the internet. And here's why I want to talk about the madness of the internet. I was looking at this today because back in the day, you could go and read an article by a magazine. Like, sometimes a famous news outlet or anything get a very plain but effective page of information and writing, not too much advertising. Maybe you've got a banner ad at the top, but the majority of the article is in there and it's easy to read on one page, maybe with some images in between. Now, and I know other people listening to this who were there before can understand this, now it is fucking chaos. You go to an article and it's always that salacious, scandalous catchphrase. Check out these 10 lost... There's always a number. Take out these 10 lost pictures from a Titanic. And you think, well, I like the Titanic. That's a cool topic. And you go and look at it and it's a small piece of text and then it's an advertising window. And then you scroll down a bit more. There's another video advert, and then there's a picture advert, and then it's like next
and
page.
Free pop-ups.
Well, forget that even. It's just like, I mean, it's like next page. If you want to see part 5 to 10, you go to the next page, and it is the same format: text, video, scrolling, advert. And now, and that in the past would have been unacceptable. Like, for the average person actually remembers how it was before, with like a clean page, with just the information that we wanted.
Well,
read.
That was in the very early
insane.
Days. Why don't you tell me about your first experience with the internet? What was your first outlet? What was your first computer or access point? Was it AOL? Was it?
Yeah, I had to dial up. You remember the old dial up?
Yes, I do.
And you used to have a thing where you'd be at Mrs. of course, back in the 90s. You used to have this thing where you would have a phone line and it would be attached like to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in order to use it, you would have to kick someone off of a phone or vice versa. So I remember growing up, my brother was very angry at me every time I was trying. And I loved the internet because for me, it did provide a degree of exploration, escapism, because you could look up anything you wanted and explore.
You could
things,
go on
but
the Kazaa
never,
or LimeWire
yeah, there was
and
things
take
never,
3 weeks to
never,
download.
Never, never, yeah, yeah, but you could something. Get all the viruses from Kazaa, yeah. Which for those listening who don't know, was a music downloading early kind of app, early on, which came with a lot of malware, viruses, and stuff, so it wasn't worth the trouble, but we all used it at the time. But, yeah, you could just go and explore anything, and now I just feel like everything's done through social media, and there's very few individual explorations of websites, and the websites that are ones that are marketed to this specific staging of advertisement. You're scrolling video and it's all catered. Now you're right, your phone's looking at your facial expressions. Is she happy or sad while she looks at the advert? And in fact, back in the day, I was kind of like, why am I getting all these random adverts? And there was one small part of a relief where I realized at least adverts are now catered to us. But then it went beyond just the, oh, this is stuff I want to see. It got creepy. It started being like, you could talk about wanting a hot dog on Thursday and Friday, there's nothing but hot dog advertisements all on your feed. And you're not even typing on social media. You're just talking about it, and it picks it up. And that seems like fantasy, sci-fi, scary stalking stuff, but it's actually real. They are actually looking at your facial expression, pulling that up, using it, and catering the ad, but specifically to your every desire and whim, so that you will click, because it is paid by the clicks. It's scary.
When was the first time you ever heard about the internet?
in the late 90s, my parents got a computer, a big, I'm talking about a big one with a big hard drive.
Like a big Compaq 286 or something like that.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it was, you know. But it makes me think of the Commodore.
There's the Commodores. I always had computers, but they weren't connected. I think the first time I thought of anything that was akin to the internet.
Oh, wait, you had something before the internet, did you? Tell us. Okay, so I'm from the 90s, and you are, what's your era?
Well, I was born in the late 70s.
Okay, so what were computers like in your day?
Okay, well there was Apples, there were Commodores, there were things of that nature.
Because Apple was kind of there in the beginning, right. And then Windows overtook it, and then they overtook Windows.
Yeah, well, they kind of run.
Is that right? Or
well, the best way I ever heard describe it is that they're both kind of independent now. Apple has a smaller.
Well, Steve Jobs is dead, so it's that.
Right. So, a Microsoft. Okay, so a Windows computer is like a businessman that went to art school, and an Apple computer is like an artist that went to business school. They can both do the same things, but you can kind of tell where their core interests lie. But that was just kind of a throw-off analogy.
Yeah, so I'm trying to relate this to like the general population listening to this what was your first experience?
There was a movie called War Games, starring a very young Matthew Broderick. And he would take the phone, the literal handset phone, not the things you keep in your pockets, but like the phone you'd have on a wall or something like that, and put it on a device called a modem, which was a shorthand for modulator, demodulator, right? And it would convert analog to digital things and allow computers to talk to each other as part of an expanded version of the ARPANET. ARPANET being the basic progenitors for the internet, which was a way for government and scientific colleges to be able to communicate each other. And they developed this whole thing where they could talk to each other, and the network that they had, if one city happened to go kablooey, if height of Cold War era nuclear threat, if one city went goodbye, I would find a way to magically route around Cleveland and still get to San Francisco or wherever.
Is this like your first internet experience?
Yeah, that was my first internet experience, was watching something on a movie called War Games.
Oh, you see, it was in the movie. It wasn't a real thing.
No, the ARPANET was a real thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
what the internet is actually based
upon. Okay,
right.
Cool.
So, and then after that, I think the next time I saw something in pop was a movie called Burglar, where they were talking back and forth on plain text internet. And then after that, it was probably 1998 when I had a roommate that had a computer. And,
around the same time.
And this thing called AOL.
AOL.
Yeah, America Online, you know.
We used it.
You've got mail. And right, you know.
Which is a great movie, incidentally.
It is. Yeah, I've seen it.
Because back then it was crazy to date on the internet. Now it's just normal.
See, it's a foregone conclusion. Now your computer's in your pocket, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we've had this whole arc of development where I think, going back to what you were talking about, was it was very much none of the conventions or the rules had been developed. We weren't completely siloed into our advertising categories or completely maximized into our monetary value. We can have fun on there.
Yeah, that was the whole point, is it should be a fun thing. And, you know, getting back into the topic, like the madness of the whole thing, it's like something like, okay, back in the day, like online dating was a big faux pas. I remember people like, oh, you're not dating on the internet, are you? Would say the elderly women in England. That's a big faux pas.
Or anyone that didn't want to wind up in a trunk,
But now it's this idea that humans are so judgmental of something when it's new and suspicious, and now it's a standard. You're right, we have a computer in our pocket. Or you're growing up in school and they're like, well, you need to pass this mathematics test, and if you don't, it's not like you're going to have a calculator in your pocket when you grow up. And it's like, haha, fuck you, mathematics teacher.
Liar, got a calculator right in my pocket.
And like, getting back to this madness point, it's like, okay, so we've got this whole thing and it's growing.
When did it stop being fun?
It's not fun anymore, is what I'm trying to say, for the majority of it. And by that I mean, now you go, something is more trouble than not. It's more hassle than not. You go to one of these articles and there are so many pop-up advertisements, like you're saying. There are so many things to scroll through to get to it. It's like, is it even worth looking at an article on the internet anymore with the amount of advertisement is shoved down our throats? I'm not talking about a little. I'm talking about videos every scrolling, and you'd think there'd be some bastions of safety in terms of these islands I spoke about before, like this idea of different web pages and applications are islands.
Like, and hey, I had, you just want to come and hang out?
Hang out.
Be on my island for a little bit.
It won't be like this advertising. And some start off that way. So you get platforms like TikTok. You know, like, I quite like and have been actually a proponent in a positive way for TikTok for a long time, even when a lot of people hated and insulted it and said it was never going to go anywhere and was stupid. I actually very early on was like, no, I see the potential in this application. It has even surpassed Facebook as an example of the power of that app. That app. But like, I look at that now, and even that is now becoming contaminated with, you scroll through, they didn't have ads when I originally was on there, and now you scroll through and it's just like video ad, video ad, video ad, and you can't tell because they look the same as the users' videos. They kind of carefully curate it into there. And
right.
I get these platforms have to exist through advertising and whatnot, but at some point it just becomes so choked down that you notice it and the experience becomes uncomfortable. And the whole madness of the internet is that we take people and use them to get results. Like, here's an example, OnlyFans. OnlyFans was absolutely built by sex workers. Mm-hmm. Girls came in, they made the platform famous through subscriptions, providing images, right, sexy images, and all of this stuff. And people used it. There were patrons, and they knew.
Just like in the original Wild West towns, the people
the
pioneered it were the brothels.
Yes, right? It's a great analogy. So originally in the Wild West, people would come in, and there were brothels because the ratio of women in the 1800s in America to men in these camps was low. It was a higher number of men. And so a lot of these brothels have provided income to grow the towns. And the second it became unpalatable, the second it became unpalatable and it wasn't serving them.
No, the second the town grew to a point where they no longer needed the sex workers.
Right.
That's the same thing with these platforms.
Absolutely. So they're like, okay, thanks.
Somebody might have always regarded them as unpalatable, but they'll tolerate them until they're no longer necessary.
They're like, thanks for your service and goodbye. And that's what OnlyFans did. They said, hey guys, you know, we're no longer allowed this on the platform. Thanks for your service in building our entire platform, but goodbye. And people were pissed off about it, understandably so, with everything that was going on. I understand where that came from in history.
Tumblr did that too.
Tumblr allowed adult content. They allowed adult content and then later said, oh, we're removing this, and everyone said, fuck you. And then they later revoked that, and it was a whole thing unto itself. We talk about this Wild West, the madness of
the madness right now. I don't know.
But can I talk about even in terms of like TikTok?
It's
now to jump back into that whole finality of that point there is that, you know, the platform is becoming very restrictive in that sense as well. And it's like, I think we use people up and until a point, and then when they're no longer of any use, it's like, then you can cut them out. Then it's acceptable, just once you're a mainstream platform. And that's been the same case of Facebook or anything.
That's going to be the same case of just
nobody wants
everything.
To acknowledge it, though. That's the thing that bothers me about it. And it is difficult to stomach looking at it as a woman.
Well, it is. And these are, you know, multiple topics that we can dive deep on. I think one of the things where it's like...
I have a whole podcast dedicated to that very topic.
I mean,
about the war against women on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I've listened to it.
That's
a good one.
It's a great
podcast.
There's an old phrase, you know, follow the money, right? Okay. So
yeah.
There was a time, and I think this is where we hit this kind of paradigm shift in the internet, which goes from the last vestiges of, you know, happy time, Wild West, hey man, this is clunky but fun, down to the everything is categorized, cataloged, indexed, siloed.
How
what
far
have
to
you.
Tip on the other side of
well,
the scale?
So there was a time where if you're an advertiser, you would follow the human appetite. You would go where their interests went.
I get that.
Okay, so whatever it is they're interested in, that's what you're going to put yourself in front of, cater to, and shed everything else off. Now, in the modern internet, it's doing more than that. Okay, so this is not classic advertising.
That's what I guess I'm trying to ask as an ultimate question.
It's not just following the human appetite. It's creating the human appetite.
Tight, right, for
it is curating things for us.
So can I ask you this, because you're an INTJ, and INTJs are famous for being able to predict the future of your personality type. Mm-hmm. They're like very foresight in future. So we talk about this madness of the internet thing, and we're seeing these articles go insane, and we're seeing cancel culture just go insane and targeting everyone. Everything's just, the whole thing is out of control. It's all salacious and scandalous, and everything you see on your newsfeed is negative or horror or extreme. And
that's what
there's
sells.
Very little, because that's what sells. So in
it's a hijacking of your limbic system.
Seeing where it's at right now, can I get your personal prediction, honestly, because I don't think I'm capable of this. Where do you think it will go in the future?
It's going to go one of two ways, okay? So the way a lot of modern internet, social media, advertising platforms go is it's literally a hijack of your limbic system in the sense that it is going to specifically curate things that are going to make you angry. If you go back to our primordial...
Well, we know that's a fact from Facebook, because they are actively... This is not a lie. This is actually the truth. It has been shown through the algorithms. They will put posts up with more negative responses. I'm talking about the larger number of comments are pushed to the top. So the more negative in terms of
politics...
Well,
the maximum amount of engagement, which is usually elicited through negative things. Okay?
Such as politics.
Right,
but
politics.
It pushes that to the forefront, and so everything suddenly becomes very negative and depressing and sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all to extract as much attention, as many eyeballs, as much engagement as they can, so that they can go to their shareholders and say, look, here's how much engagement we had. Here's how many eyeballs we had on this.
I think that's terrible.
It is. This is why I say that there is a difference between where it's like, people like blue shoes now? Okay, let's do everything about blue shoes. Oh, people like red pants now? Let's do everything about red
pants.
They would follow the interest. Now they're actually creating the interest by specifically rewarding you with your little dopamine hit, because you get a like on some
thing,
some bold comment you made on something.
Okay, so here's the thing then. Like, that in case, like, I thought about that a lot. Like, when I went through the whole cancellation thing, it's like, I have made a lot of very positive posts in my life. That's a fact. I've supported a lot of people and made a lot of kind posts. None of those have ever, hit any traction. You know, for one time in my life, there's this barrage of negativity that had more engagement, shares, than anything else in my life. I thought, how sad. And that's when the system fails people.
Well, no. It's engineered to do just that. The system will reward you. Okay, because...
And I allowed a reward. In fact, I allowed, because I believed in freedom of speech. I was like, people should be able to have the communication and comment on these posts. That was my mistake.
Going back to your heritage as a, early primordial human, okay, we have a lot of brain power dedicated to perceiving threats, okay? That's why human beings see more shades of green than any other color.
Because is that true?
It is.
Oh, that's fascinating. You taught me something new today. I didn't know that.
That's right. Okay, so we see more shades of green than any other color, because we grew up around a lot of green leafy things, and if something was amiss, we needed to be able to detect whether that's just a breeze blowing through some branches, mm-hmm. or if that is something that's going to eat us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the reason why we're here and other offshoots of our ancestry are not is because our genes carry the ability to be able to say that's a threat, and you dedicate more brain power to be able to detect a threat.
Okay.
Move into the modern era, you're going to pay a lot more attention to things that upset you.
Negative, yes.
Then
I agree with
it. Right, you have two things. One says, like, hey, everybody, basically everything's fine, everything's cool. There's a little something going on over here in this area, but it's never really going to affect you on a personal level. Versus something that's like, is there something in your home that's going to kill you? Find out at 11.
It's
been like this for a long time. It's just...
The internet sped it up. It's hyped
right,
it up.
Right, okay, so yeah. You had print media, which was simplex communication. They print something, and then they have to wait and find out, is our readership up? How do you know? By how many people purchased it?
Napping's instantaneous.
Right. Radio, they used to use the Arbitron ratings, which is basically a small select sample group, and people would fill in diaries to say what they listened to, which basically you have no idea, you know, because you get 13 of these diaries dropped into your zip code. Maybe one person happens to know the GM, all right? So it skews those numbers. It's not accurate. The internet is like full duplex. You know, the second you post something, whether it's getting, you get that instantaneous feedback.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait weeks on end to get these feedback or Nielsen ratings or Arbitron or anything else with the internet. You get instantaneous feedback as to what is garnering the most interest. And that's why the internet is different from previous media.
You start not being true to yourself because, and I know I'm guilty of this in a sense, but I noticed I will go for if a certain image receives more likes or praise, I will focus on that kind of image or that kind of post, whatever it is. And it's like, I think that is a bit unhealthy because it's not true to ourselves and our actual interests.
It's not.
Letting the system curate us to what we're almost being farmed in that way to what is the right thing to do. What's the video that's going to go viral? What's the TikTok video that's going to get me these views? What's Snapchat's going to get me the most attention? What A, B, and C on this?
It's a reward punishment system which completely hijacks your limbic system.
That can be controlled in the system. That's the danger of the whole thing.
And
so going back to the original point now, because we're running out of time now, we're sitting at 26 minutes, well, 27 now, but the danger of it, you know, the madness of the internet, I cut you off before, so this is on me. What do you think will really happen with it? Because you said it's one of two things. You spoke about one. What's the second thing?
One is we're all going to be individually siloed into our perfect little bubble of everything that we want to have presented
to us. Matrix stuff?
Like, you know, everything that, you know, I'm only going to get my dopamine reward by liking things, and they're only going to serve up things that I have previously liked.
Okay.
So you're going to have a very homogenized view of the world if the only way you view the world is through the internet. Okay, and then we're all going to be very much like what you see in Idiocracy or whatnot.
Right.
Okay. Version two is we realize how bad it is.
Do you think, and here's the thing is, and I beg the people listening to this too, because I know it seems like a light-hearted thing, and it does on the surface, right? So it's just the internet. It's just a little social media page, just a little video here on Instagram or TikTok or whatnot, and I think at some point, and I've seen it in the small waves, there's something where I'm like, there's something very wrong with this, and it has the potential ultimately, well, we can't see it right now, to be very dangerous. I'm not saying that carelessly for a salacious scandal.
No, it's already dangerous. Reports have been written, edicts have been issued over the past decade or so. The knowledge is out there, but not everyone really wants to.
So here's the thing.
I'm not wearing tin foil on my hat or anything.
Right,
like that.
Right. That's the thing. This is the honest evaluation at this juncture.
It's unhealthy
for people listening, I would ask you this, if you're listening to this, have you ever felt like your experiences on social media were negative? Have you ever scrolled through and just have seen things that made you more depressed? Have you ever posted things and seen that if some of your friends comment something negatively, that's more well-reviewed or pushed to the top?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it didn't actually make you feel good, but you couldn't let it go in a sense that you need the validation, so you kept using social media because that's the current how to do, right? And because suddenly for my business, that's been the structure of it.
Oh, and pandemic has really accelerated this.
I think, you know, you and I will tell you this, you'll
the
sit with me.
Auspices of connection.
You will definitely sit with me, and we'll be watching TV show Downton Abbey or something, and speaking of which, we have to do a podcast on that. But
yes, we will.
We're watching something, and you'll be like, are you on social media? And you make me aware of it, of how much I am attached to the phone, to these people's opinions online to this concept, to this whole thing, and it's almost cybernetic, like it's a part of me, like it's attached to my arm, but I cannot let go. And the thoughtfulness of just putting that down for a second, which I know, like, I'm one of those people, I will be at the table and on the phone, on the social, and I know I'm not alone in that. I never have a
people. No.
Especially from a younger generations where it's like
addictive.
You are attached to it. It becomes a part of you. It's cybernetic.
It is specifically addictive. It's right. Doing its job.
Right.
The shareholders of every one of these major social media platforms are being well rewarded by the addiction that they have curated in you.
Yeah. And I think it's all fair. Honestly, I could talk about this topic for like several more hours. I'm not going to lie.
But we can't because we've hit the 30 minute mark.
We've hit the 30 minute mark. But I will say I really appreciate you guys joining us for this conversation. I honestly think it might merit a second one in the future,
point
potentially.
Two or a 2.0
I would love to have, what I would love to have is other people on this podcast and their opinions and their experiences with social media, both the positive and the negative.
There's a lot of pros to be had.
This is the madness of the internet. There might even be a podcast for joys of the internet, because they both go hand in hand, because love and hatred is a two-sided coin.
Without
further ado, really appreciate you guys checking in and joining us tonight. Sleep tight and have a good night.